Aber nicht satirchen mit der Reise, because of the aloche of intichen achatirchen. That is smug mentions. So the Balamoya agrees with it. But the smug hold, the Balamoya holds, intichen achatirchen is only matteret mit der Reise. But mit Rabbonon, even when it's tichen achatirchen, so it's still also mit Rabbonon. So mimele, the Jewish Rajbo also, it's not that the Jewish Rajbo holds that the same aloche of Lech Lalter that applies mit der Reise to bear Eichel mit Echepseles. Eichel mit Echepseles applies to Teichel. No, that's a special aloche in bear, and in bear itself, it only applies to Eichel mit Echepseles, not to bear Echepseles mit Eichel. So how can it apply to Teichel? The answer is even according to the Rajbo. There is no aloche mit der Reise in Trine of Lech Lalter. So Teichel is a meloche der Reise even when it's Lech Lalter, like all other meloches. But Midraise, there is no Yisea to be Mifarer Lechem on account of the Aloche of Ein Teichen Ach Teichen. But the Smak Shita is, there is one difference between the Rashba and the Smak. Whereas according to the Smak, so Ein Teichen Ach Teichen implies there is not even Yisea the Rabbonon of Teichen. So the Rashba says, true indeed, that Ein Teichen Ach Teichen implies there is no Yisea the Reis of Teichen. But in Yisea the Rabbonon of Teichen there is. So since it only involves Yisea the Rabbonon of Teichen, so Mele, so it's Mutter Alech Laoter. But where it involves an Issa Dereise, so then it wouldn't be Mutter Lech Lalta. So in Mele, there is no stire between the Balamoya Shite and the Shite that is mentioned by all the Shemim, that you are allowed to be Mifare Lechem in order to be given to the chickens. Because the Balamoya agrees with the Rashbo that there is a loch of Intichen Achatichen. So that takes off the Issa Dereise of Teichen. But there is an Issa the Rabbonon of Teichen. So the Rashba says, where only an Issa the Rabbonon of Teichen is involved, so Lech Lalter, the Chachomim or Matia. So when is that Eta Shayach, if you are Mifare the Lechem in order to give it to the chickens? So then there is Eta Lech Lalter. But when you're Mifare the Lechem in order to throw it into the Yam, or in the air, so then there is no Heter on the Rabbonon. So how are we allowed? So the Balamoya says, so we are allowed because there is a special dispensation. But on that point, all the other Rishenim are Chilik and Balamoya, and they hold that the Chachomim were not Matir, did not dispense with the Nisa Shavuos in order to be able to be Mikayim the Mitzvah of Yochanan. So Memele, so if someone, let's say, adopts the traditional approach of eating chometz Shabbos Erev Pesach Friday night and Shabbos early in the morning, so if the remnants consist of pirulim, so then there is no problem, he can throw it in the bath. But suppose the remnants consist of a whole chale or half a chale, so then most l'shem achilik and l'amoya, so he has no heter mid rabbonon to break it into particles, because that's not lech la'alter, it's for the purpose of being destroyed. So mimele, he's not allowed to be mifarad alechem into small crumbs. So what should he do? What should he do? So there is a simple way. In other words, all he has to do is just to throw it away in the garbage pail in the courtyard. Now, of course, he's going to be mivatil. He has to be mivatil anyway. Every Jew is mechuyev to be mivatil. And the Gemara says, midaraisi bebitul ba'al mesagi. Midaraisi bebitul ba'al mesagi. But midarabonon. So there is a chiyuv of bio over and above the bio. Why would the Chachomim misake that one has to be mivaya the chometz over and above the bittel? So the Gemara says, "Shtei roshem yimtzo gus kayofa." So there are many achenim mention that since the whole reason as to why the Chachomim were mechayev in every Jew to be mivaya the chometz over and above the bittel is because of echshoshe shemo yimtzo gus kayofa. So if he throws it away into the ashbo, achinim say that. So mele, it's not likely, it's highly unusual that he'll go and look in the ashbo that is not even in his house, and they'll go and look for it gus kiyofe. So mele, there is not even a chiyuv from the rabbonon incumbent upon him to be mivayah. So certainly on Shabbos Erev Pesach we can rely on that chite of so many achinim who say that the chemed mentions, so that where he throws it way to the ashbo, and if he was mivakel the chometz, so there is no chiyuv from the rabbonon to be mivakel. But then there is another problem. The other problem is, now the Gemara says in Psochim, Y Moisés es mi rey el José. So shalcho yatrei, abo atrei shlachem. So Teisves holds that the pshat abo atrei shlachem means that if the chometz doesn't belong to me, so I'm not even about the Not only if the chometz belongs to a goy, but if the chometz belongs to another Jew, and if the other Jew lives it in my house, and as long as I wasn't become lachayes, so I'm not even about the according to Teisves. The Gro, the Bir Agro, in Hilchas Pesach, he says that the pshat shalcho yatarei avo atarei shel achirim, achirim means a goy. In other words, if a goy will come to a Jew's house and they will leave his chometz, as long as the Jew was not in Kabbalah Chayes, so the Yisrael is not even a loy. Mashainkin, if a Jew, if Shimon will leave, will come into Reuven's house with a sandwich, and they'll leave the sandwich in Reuven's house, even though Reuven was not in Kabbalah Chayes over Shimon's sandwich, so Reuven will be in the love of the Reis of Balloy. Because the whole thing is a question, shall Choy Atareye, our Atareye shall Achirim implies, shall Noch Rinat, but shall Yisroel Achir, Yareem about the Roy, even without Kabbalah Chayes. And from Rashi's Roshi, the Fayom base, it's much more like that. Because Rashi says, Achirim Kibi Nochri. Why does Rashi emphasize Achirim Nochri? If Rashi had agreed with Shiva's Tengsves, so not Afke Nochri, Achir means somebody else's Chometz. Rashi emphasizes Shalochri. So it seems that Rashi agrees with the Shiva's Akko. Now the problem, and according to the Gro, so there is, you cannot dispose of the problem of Bal Yiroye by simply being Mafkia Chometz. You see, Teisve says that Pitu is Mishtad Hefkia. So that's Teisve's Lashito say that the Pshat Shel Achirim Atoreye doesn't mean Davke Shel Goy Atoreye. Even Shel Yisroel Achirim. So in other words, according to Teisve, when is the Bali Roye? Only if the Yisroel is titled to it. So maybe if he's Mafker, he doesn't have title in the Chometz, so there is no Bali Roye. But according to the Gro and Rashi, so even if a Jew will be mafkia the chometz, not bitul, bitul is alright, is effective, midraise. But if he'll be mafkia, not be mivatul the chometz, so then it will remain in his rishus, in his premises, he'll behave about the roye, and hefker is not effective. Now, as long as it is on his premises, so now we are faced with the problem, and Shabbos Erev Pesach, we are faced with the problem. I mean, we are faced with a problem. I mean, that problem could arise in an ordinary Erev Pesach also, not the Dafke Shabbos Erev Pesach. So, in other words, let's say, now we just said that there is a simple way, if, let's say, he has a big piece of chometz left over, a chalek, or a loaf of bread, rolls, so he's not allowed to be mevaret on Shabbos because it involves a nisat chilum with Rabbanon. So what all he has to do is to be mevatel, he has to be mevatel anyway. So, and then throw it away in the garbage pail in the courtyard. So, since with the Raisi Bito Balmesage, but in the Rabban there is a Chiyuv Biur, so many Achim say when he throws it in the Ashpo, so then there is no Choshe Shem Yimtzo Gruz Koyom. But, according to the Gro and Rashi, that only Chometz of Igoi, you're not in a Bal Yigoi. But Chometz of Israel, even though the other Israel left it in my house, in my rishus, against my will, so, and even though I wasn't Mikabla Chayes, I'm still in Bal Yiroye. So, many times, let's say, when one Jew is a Shema Mitzvah, shares, let's say, the courtyard with another Jew is not a Shema Mitzvah. So, the Jew is a Shema Mitzvah, so, right, he's Mevatel Chometz. So, he cannot be either Bal Yiroye on the score of his Chometz because he was Mevatel. But he has a neighbor. He has a neighbor who shares the same garbage bag in the same courtyard. And he's not a Shema Mitzvah. He wasn't Mevatel Chometz. So Mimele, and then that neighbor, so that problem arises not Dafke this year. It can arise every Pesach. So then that neighbor who is not Mevatel Chometz throws away the remnants of Chometz, pieces of walls, of bread, of challah, in the garbage bag. And the garbage pail stands in the courtyard. So the courtyard belongs to both. To that Jew who is not a Shema Mitzvah, and to the Jew who is a Shema Mitzvah. And the garbage pail also belongs to both. So Mimele, when the neighbor, the Jew, throws away a piece of bread on Pesach in the garbage pail, and the garbage pail stands in the courtyard, that that belongs to the Jewish Shema Mitzvahs. So the Jewish Shema Mitzvahs, even though he was not in Kabbalah Chayes on that bread, he'll be Yivah Baliroye according to the Gro and according to Rashi. I mean, so that problem arises every Pesach, not Dafke Shabbos Erev Pesach. So what should be done about that? So there is a simple way to eliminate that problem. In other words, he should be mafkir the garbage pail. He's chelik in the garbage pail, but that will not be enough. Suppose he's mafkir, he's chelik in the garbage pail, but he's not mafkir the part of the premises of the courtyard where the garbage pail stands. So he'll still be there, bal yiroye, when the other Jew is not a shema mitzvah, will throw pieces of rolls of bread of challah into the garbage pail, because it will be standing on the courtyard that also belongs to him. So then he has to be mafkir, not only the garbage, he's chilek in the garbage pail, he has to be mafkir also, he's chilek in that part of the premises. That doesn't mean that he has to be mafkir, he's chilek in the whole courtyard, but just that spot where the garbage pail stands, so he has to be mafkir. Or he'll put, let's say, the garbage pail outside of his courtyard, but if he doesn't put the garbage pail outside of the courtyard, so then he has to be mafkir also his chelik in that spot upon which the garbage pail stands. Otherwise, according to the Gro and Rashi, he might behave a balyo. Now, then there is another problem. If somebody adapts the traditional approach of eating chametz Shabbos Erev Pesach, now everything is cooked the Pesach way. Now, and it's going to be served in chometz dishes. So then, Achrenim discussed the Chok Yaakov, and the Yor Rabbe, and others discussed this problem. In other words, let's say if the woman takes off the pot with soup or whatever it is, chicken, and then she pours it into a chometz dish. Now, the Issa V'Heter and the Ramor in Simen Kufei mentions that in the name of the Issa V'Heter that one should not pour shemen from a can into a neir shel chiver. Why? Because there is a halacha of nitzik. So nitzik is chiver. In other words, if let's say an akum has a cup of wine, is drinking a cup of wine, and there are a few drops of wine left in the cup, and then Yisrael will pour from the bottle into that cup. So then there is nitzuk. So the wine in the bottle is in touch with the drops of wine at the bottom of the course, and that's Yai Nesach, because an akum drank from it. So Memele, all the wine in the bottle becomes mechuber to the drops of wine that is in the bottom of the cup. So all the wine of the bottle becomes osir, as Yai Nesach, because nitzik is a chiv. Because of that, so the Issa V'Heter says that one cannot pour, let's say shemen zayis from a can into a neir shel chelev, because there is the flame that comes from the neir shel chelev, and that unites the chelev with the shemen in the can from which he's pouring the shemen zayis. So all the shemen zayis becomes us. And the Ramor in Simen Kufei paskens that one shouldn't do it l'chatchile, but the Eved it's mutter. Why does the Ramor say that the Eved is mutter? Because the whole application of the concept, the principle of Nitzek to Issa V'Heter is very strange. Because where is Nitzek is a svorei Yai Nesach, because Yai Nesach becomes osel through mage, through chibo. So mainly if a Yisrael pours wine from a bottle into a course that has Yai Nesach, so then through the chibur of Nitzuk, so all the wine in the bottle becomes Yai Nesach. Masha'in king gabi yisurim, so there has to be blia of the guf hadovor, of the guf ha'itzer. Now when I pour shemen zayis from a can into a neir shel chelev, through the chibur between the chelev, through the flame of the neir, so there is chibur. There is a connection between the chilev that is osir and the shemen zayis in the can from which I pour into the neir shel chilev. But there is no blie, there is no tarubes. Here the fact that there is chibur doesn't mean anything. So that's the reason as to why there are more pastens that the eved. It is all right. But l'chatchile we have to be cheshish for the sheet of Issa V'Heter. So Memele the Chok Yaakov says that on Shabbos Erev Pesach, when on Shabbos Erev Pesach, So a woman should not pour from the pot, from the pesach pot, into a chametz kedush, because then vunitzuk. So the soup in the pesach pot will become less. So true, the eved we don't answer it, but legabe chametz pesach we are machmir. So since the ramo is machmir by shor yisur lechatchile, alachas kamo vechamo that we have to be machmir lechatchile. Legabe pesach, but of course the eved we won't answer it, just as the ramo is matter the eved. Gabi shor yisur misim kufei, he'll be matter the eved. Gabi pesach too. The Leo Rabbi is chelik, and what the Leo Rabbi says is very mistaber. The Chok Yaakov is very strange. He says, when can we apply the principle of nitzik? If, let's say, in a case where, let's say, you pour from a bottle, a Yisrael pours wine from a bottle into a koch that has a little bit of yain nesach in that cup. So there is chibur between the mamoshes ayin, the yain nesach at the bottom of the cup, and the yain the bottle. Or when you pour shemiz ayis from a can into an eshel chilev. So there is chibur through the flame. So there is chibur between the chilev at the bottom of the neir and the shemiz ayis on top in the can from which he pours shem into the neir. So there is chibur. But here, if you take, so in Achaname, if let's say in the chometik dish, there will be some chometz, let's say chometz noodles, chometz soup, and then he'll pour the soup of the pesach part into that, then there will be chibur between the chometz soup at the bottom of the chometz dish and the pesach soup in the pot. But it's not like that. So when you use a chometz dish, you take a clean chometz dish. So there is no mamoshes of chometz, only a bria of chometz. How can we apply the concept of nitzik when there is no union between any mamoshes of chometz and the pesach food in the pot? And it's very mistaken like the Leo Rabbi. And most achreinim are machria like the Leo Rabbi. Some achreinim say that we should use a chometz dish that is not a v'yemen. But it's not even necessary to use a chometz. Usually it will be a chometz kedush that's not a b'yemei. But even if it happens to be a b'yemei, if the b'liya is less than 24 hours, so it's still all right. We couldn't, what the Rabbi says is very mistaver. We couldn't apply the concept of nitzik here, in as much as there is no union between mamoshes of chometz and the mamoshes of the pesach. All right. Now, so that does not involve any problem. Alright, so this is what one should do if he adopts the traditional approach of eating chometz Shabbos Erev Pesach. Then, there is another approach that within the last 2 decades became very popular. So, I mean, that approach was suggested by Rav Meshach Chayishnishnite, and that is that if he wants to avoid trouble with dealing with chometz, especially if in the house there are little children, so he's afraid the children might bring over the chometz to all the pots and to all the places. So Rav Moshe Feinstein suggested that someone can be yetzei the Suda Shabbos by eating matzah asher. So I would like to discuss this approach of eating matzah asher. Now it's an egg matzah. That's matzah asher. Now, as far as the iser of eating matzah asher is concerned, even according to Rabbi Kveiga, who says that it is oser, so it's only oser when chometz is oser. But early in the morning, when chometz is muter, so certainly matzah shiro is muter. And then we don't have to be machmir so much for that Ramo that says that because we can rely on the shita of the Orach HaShulchan, that Ramo doesn't mean that it's also Erev Pesach to eat matzah shiro. He means he's just mentioning a mitzias in view of the fact that Jews are not allowed to eat matzah shiro on Pesach, so usually matzah shiro is not available Erev Pesach, because why should a Jew bake matzah shiro just for Erev Pesach? Alright, so melee, it does not involve that problem. But then it involves, before I start discussing the Indian of Kriya Sude, I want to discuss another problem. It's not so poshet eating matzah shiro, because the shita said, now there is an iser of eating matzah Pesach. Now, but that Israel, being matzah of Pesach, applies only to real matzah. A matzah with which you can be mekayim the mitzvah of matzah, Pesach night. But matzah ashiro, you cannot be mekayim the mitzvah of matzah. The Gemara says that you cannot be eating matzah ashiro because matzah ashiro is not lechemeni, and matzah Pesach night has to be lechemeni. So mimele, since you couldn't be mekayim the mitzvah of matzah Pesach night, it's not also to be eaten Shabbat. I mean, it's not also to be eaten Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach. But there is a Shitas HaRambam. The Shitas HaRambam is that when the Gemara says that matzah ashiro, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, so it only applies to a matzah that was nilesh in mayim or cholov or shemen or dvash. These four meaning. But if a matzah was nilesh in adam eperes, not mayim, shemen, cholov, dvash, then it's not matzah ashiro, it's lachemeni, and you can be mekayim the mitzvah of achilas matzah. So according to Rambam Shite, one could be mekayim the mitzvah of achilas matzah by eating an egg matzah. An egg matzah is not, it's nilesh in eggs, it's not nilesh in cholov, or in yayin, or in shemen, dvash. So according to the Rambam, so since you could be mekayim the mitzvah of matzah with an egg matzah, so maybe it's also an Erev Pesach. Then there is the shita of the Maral Miprok. The Maral Miprok says that there are two mitzvahs. First of all, there is a mitzvah of Be'erev Techol Matzis. And as far as the mitzvah of Be'erev Techol Matzis is concerned, you can fulfill the mitzvah of Be'erev Techol Matzis even with the matzah shiur. But then there is another mitzvah of Lechemei. The Gemara says that matzah shiur you cannot use because it's not lachemeni. So that means you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of lachemeni, which is a separate mitzvah, apart from the mitzvah of Be'erev Techol Matzis. So, but with matzah ashiro, you can yitzeh, you can fulfill the mitzvah of Be'erev Techol Matzis. So Mele Maral Miprok paskens, suppose a Jew does not have any other matzah except matzah ashiro. So he's mechuyev to eat Pesach night, the matzah ashiro, the chol hapoch has to fulfill the mitzvah of Be'erev Techol Matzis. Now, according to Maral Miprok too, so, since you could be mekayim the mitzvah of Be'erev Techol Matzis, so maybe it's also an Erev Pesach. But, after all, most Rishenim achilik on the Rambam, and most Rishenim hold that the mitzvah of the halacha of matzah shiur, it applies not only to a matzah that is nilesh in Yayin Shem Chol Udvash, but it applies equally to a matzah that is nilesh in any materials. So memele, you couldn't be mekayim the mitzvah, and since you couldn't be mekayim the mitzvah, so it's not oser Erev Pesach. And after all, Rav Netam himself ate matzah ashiro. Jesus mentioned Rav Netam himself ate matzah ashiro Erev Pesach. But, and then as far as the Maral Miprok is concerned, so the other poskim don't mention the shita of the Maral Miprok. Apparently they hold not like the Maral Miprok, and they hold that the posik of lachemeni is declaratory and is descriptive of the mitzvah of Be'erev Techol Matzis. Not that it's two separate inyanim, but is descriptive of the mitzvah of Be'erev Techol Matzis. So b'meile, he could eat a matzah ashiro on Shabbos Erev Pesach. But then there is another part. Matzah ashiro means a matzah that was mixed in eggs. And no water, because if water will go in, so then it will become chometz nukshe. So, mimele, you cannot make a meitzi on it. If something is mixed just in meperes and not in mayim, so then you cannot make a meitzi, and you cannot be meitzi to the Shabbos. But there is a loche of pasabo because. Simen in Shpunoch, Simen Kuf Samaches, Sivo, Pasabo Bekisnin. What is Pasabo Bekisnin? Any cake is Pasabo Bekisnin. Cakes, cookies, or let's say something that is mixed just with parents. So it's Pasabo Bekisnin. Pasabo Bekisnin, Shpunoch says, in Simen Kuf Samaches, Sivo, Pasabo Bekisnin, Mivoy Cholov Beremin Mizenes, Ulachov Prochachas Minishonish, Omnich, Vimochal Mimenu Shio Shachirim Redilin Mikveyolov, אף על פי שיעור לסובייה ממנו, מבוא ויכול אוף המיצי וברכס המוזק, ואם התחילו היו בדייתי לאכול ממנו מעט, ובר בר ממזינס, והכן אוכל שיעור שאחרים קיימו לו, יבוא ויכול אוף ברכס המוזק, אף על פי שלא יברך המיצי תחיל, ואם אוכל שיעור שאחרים אין קיימו לו, אף שגובי אוף, אם יבוא ויכול בר ממזינס. So the halacha by Pasabo Bekisnin is that if he was not curious to the So then he has to say Be'er Min Zaynis, and he doesn't have to wash. And it requires Salam Michyo, which says, not Be'er Samos. But if he was Kevei Yasude, let's say somebody is Kevei Yasude and Kei, so then he has to wash, say Nifas Yadayim, make Be'er Zameitzi, and then marriage. Now, what is called Kriyasude? What is called Kriyasude? So the Ruch HaShulchan mentions a very strange Kiddush that is not so, because it's mentioned in Rishenu to the contrary. And in the Roshan of the Mechaber, it's implicit, not like the Ruch HaShulchan, but I'll mention the Kiddush of the Ruch HaShulchan. The Ruch HaShulchan raises the question, how is it that so many good Jews, they eat in the Bisakneses, they make Kiddush, and they eat a lot of cake, they eat so much cake, and they don't wash, and they don't make a meitzi, and they don't bench. How is it? So in order to be Melamed Zchus on all these good Jews, so he mentions a very big Kiddush. He says that Kriya Sudeh does not consist in a certain shiur. So, but the truth is that in the Mechabas Loshen it's explicit, not only implicit, that it does depend upon a certain shiur. Because the Loshen of the Mechaber is, In other words, he mentions only if he eats a certain size of the pasach of the kisnim. What's the size? So on that point there is a machlekes. 3 beitzim, 4 beitzim, according to the Gro. I'll soon discuss it. It's 21 beitzim and 3/5 of a beitzim. So the lashon of the Mechaber is, v'imochal mimenu shiu sha'achirim rigilim likveyal. So it does depend upon a certain size. But he says no. In order to be Mulamit Zchus, and he realizes that it's mashma from Rishenim and from many poskim, not like that. But he says that, Chidesh, in order to be Mulamit Zchus on so many Jews, so many good Jews who are accustomed on Shabbos to eat so much cake, and they don't wash. So he says that Kriya Sudeh is not determined by the size of the Pasabor Bekislin that you eat, but by the manner in which you eat. So in view of the fact, let's say Kriya Sudeh, and a person is Kriya Sudeh, so he takes off his coat and he sits down, but if a person just grabs a bite, so he does it standing. So anyway, all these good Jews who in the Bisakneses and Shabbos Yishuv, they make Kiddush and they eat a lot of cake, they might eat 20 beitzim of cake. So they do it grabbing, standing, they don't take off their coats. So anyway, it's not Kriya Sudeh. But from the Loshon of the Mechaber, it's mashma that Kriya Sudeh is determined by a certain shiur. Now, what shiur? So many poskim say that it's the same shiur Sudeh as Ligabe Yeruv Trumim. Now, in order to set up an Erev Trumim, in other words, so you put food, a certain quantity of food, let's say 2,000 amos from the city, so he's gaining Mokim Shvise at that point, and he's allowed to walk in every Ruach 2,000 am. So how much food must he leave? So shiur sudeh. What kind of shiur sudeh? Shiur sudeh salim or shiur sudeh sashir? So most poskim say, there is no machlekes. That's without any doubt that it means even sudeh salim. Even sudeh salim. What is sudeh salim? Chotzi pras. How much is chotzi pras? So according to the Rambam, it's gimu beitzim. According to Rashi, it's dalet beitzim. Now, in Kazayis, it's every beitzim. So gimu beitzim is 6 zesim. According to Rashi, shite, that chotzi pras is dalet beitzim. So it's 8 zesim. So that's the shite of the poskim hold, that the kviya sude here is the same as the sude ligabli ruvitchum, which means sudeh salim. The Gro and the Rav Shulchan Aruch and the Chayodom, they say that whereas Ligabi Yeruvi Tchumim, there Sudeh means Sudeh Sanim, but here Sudeh means Sudeh Sashirim. What is the Sudeh Sashirim? Now, every measure of man that was dropped every day for every Jew had the equivalent of 2 Sudehs. Of 2 Sudehs. Now, so Mimele, that means for the Sudeh of Shachris and the Sudeh Seref. So Mimele Shio Sudeh Sashirim is half of the Emer of the month. So how much is that? That is 21 Beitzim and 5 3/5 of a Beitzim. Now, so the question arises now. So if we if somebody wants to adopt the approach of using matzah, shiro, Shabbos, Erev, Pesach, but he has to be Yetzis for the Shabbos. In order to be Yetzis for the Shabbos, he must wash and he must make a meitzah. So the question is, how can he make a meitzah and make matzah? Only that's possible because. But possible because name, so he has to say meitzi and wash only if it's kevei asude. But the shiok was sude is either 3 beitzi, that's 6 xeisi, or 4 beitzi, that's 8 xeisi. And according to the Gro and the Rav Shulchan Aruch and the Chayodom, it's 21 beitzi plus 3/5 of the beitzi. So that's a lot. That's a lot. So what do they do? So there is a shita of Rabbi Nechaim Yozoran. Rabbi Nechaim Yozoran says that just as there is a locha l'gabi maishas, the Shabbos is kibas l'gabi maishas. In other words, let's say if the Tvue had already reached Havoy Shlish, but there was no mamloch and there was no miruach, so memeila it's not tevles yet. Before miruach, it's not tevles yet. The Kriya Shem is chal immediately after Havoy Shlish, but tevel it is not midiraisa until miruach. So midiraisa is allowed to eat a lot of it before miruach, but midrabonon he is not allowed to eat an achilas keva, but achilas are he is allowed a little bit. He is allowed to eat midrabonon, but to eat a lot of it, achilas keva is not allowed after avoy shlish, even before miruach. But on Shabbos, one is not allowed to eat of the tvue that already has reached Havoy Shlish, but not Meruach, even a little bit, even a little tiny piece. Why? Because the fact that he eats it on Shabbos, so Mele did gives it his shame of kris, no matter how little it is. Shabbos is kivas l'gabe maisres. So Rabbi Nechaim Yozoruah says, just that there is a loche, the Shabbos is kivas l'gabe maisres, so similarly, Shabbos is kivas l'gabe pasavol b'kisni. Pasavol b'kisni, let's say cake. So if he's not kivei asude, so he says I'm berem nezeves and alamichu. If he's kivei asude, I'm cake. So then he has to wash and make meitzi and be more berem zamozin. So that's all, only if he's kivei asude. So when do we say only if he's kivei asude, if he eats 3 beitzim, 4 beitzim, 21 beitzim plus, that is misachim. Lashem king, if he eats it on Shabbos, even if he eats a little bit, the fact that he eats it on Shabbos gives it a shame, sudas teva. So it has a bit of 3 years. So of course, according to Rabbi Chaim Yozoruah, there is no problem. All he has to do is just to eat one kazayis. He will be mekayem to the Shabbos. Because if he eats it on Shabbos, so no matter how little he eats, it has a shem of kris. But the Guinness Vodim is chilek. The Guinness Vodim is chilek on Rabbi Chaim Yozoruah. And he says, the Guinness Vodim says, that Shabbos is just like a meis achel. And when does he have to say a meitzi? And possible because on Shabbos, if it's under the same circumstances that he would have to say a meitzi, be meisachel. In other words, only if he eats 3 beitzim, 4 beitzim, 21 beitzim, so that's the sheet of the Guinness one. Now, the Birkei Eisei mentions a tshuva of the Radvaz. The Radvaz says, in discussing the tshuva's Radvaz, in discussing Shabbos Erev Pesach. So he also suggests, not ligabei the first two sudes, but ligabei sude shlishis. So the first issue is there was no problem. The Rishonim in those days, the Jews didn't have any problems. They just ate chametz and they had no problems. Today we are not so zoya in chametz, so we have a problem. But in those days they had no problem. So the Radvaz says, so how will we fulfill the mitzvah of Sudeh Shlishis? He cannot eat Sudeh Shlishis l'achar chatzeis chametz. So he says he should eat matzah shiro. So he says, so the Radvaz says, he doesn't have to eat a lot. He doesn't have to eat a lot. So even if he eats little, of course he has to eat a kazayis, so he will be mekayem the mitzvah of Sudeh Shlishis and he can wash and make him eitzi. The Radvaz mentions that he should eat kibetzo, so that's because of another shite. There is one shite that if you eat less than a beitzo, so you're not mechuyev to be neitles yodov. So mele, in order that he should not become involved in the shailas, whether he should say the brocha until I said ayin, so he advises that he should eat, or he should eat kibetzo. But that's something else, has nothing to do with pasabodikism. So the Radvaz says, so he can be mekayim the mitzvah of Sudeh Shabbos, Sudeh Shlishis, and he can wash and eat a meitzi, even though he eats less than the shiur of Kvesu. But, so the Birkei Yosef explains it. It's not that the Radvaz agrees with the sheet of Rav Nechaim or Rav Nechaim Azorah. According to Rav Nechaim Azorah, so no matter when a person eats Passover or Bikisli on Shabbos or on Yom Tev, he has to say a mitzvah. He has to wash. Let's say, suppose he already was mikayim the mitzvah of Shalosh Shudas. He ate already 3 Shudas, 4 Shudas, and he wants to eat a piece of cake. It's already after Shalosh Shudas. He already benched, and he wants to eat a piece of cake, a small piece of cake. So according to Rav Nechaim Azorah, he can wash, he has to wash, and make a mitzvah. And the Beit HaKazayi says to Mevor Bechzamos. The Birkei Yisef says the Radvaz does not agree with the Rav Nechaim Azorah Shite. But the Radvaz does not agree with the Guinness Vodim Shite either. Because according to the Guinness Vodim, so Shabbos, as far as Passover Bikisin is concerned, is the same like Yemei Zacheil. So if the circumstances are such that on Yemei Zacheil he wouldn't wash and he wouldn't make a Meitzi and he wouldn't be Vodim Zamozin, so on Shabbos he wouldn't have to, so he doesn't wash either. Basheike in the Radvashi that the Birkei Yisef says is that if he uses the Passover Bikisin in the Sudei Shlishis and it is his derech every Shabbos to be kibbeh asude for Shalosh Shudas, for Sudei Shlishis, so mele when this Shabbos he is kibbeh ad Sudei Shlishis and Passover Bikisin, let's say on Matzah Shiro, so it's also as a shem of Sudas Keva, but only because he uses it for Sudei Shlishis and he is accustomed every Shabbos to be kibbeh asude. Mashein came if you eat Matzah Shiro not in the course of a Sude Shabbos that he's accustomed to eat every Shabbos, then he doesn't have a Shem of Kriyas. He doesn't have a Shem of Kriyas. So in other words, so we have three Shittes. We got a Passover because it's not Shabbos. We have the Shitta of Rav Nechaim Azorah. His Shitta is that no matter when you eat on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, and how little you eat, so the fact that you eat it on Shabbos, that itself gives it a Shem of Kriyas, just as Ligabi Maiseh. So the fact that you eat a little piece of Tvueh, that is before Meruah, so it's also to the Shem of Keva, so here too. Then we have the Shita, the opposite pole, we have the Shita of the Guinness Vodim, who says that Shabbos doesn't make any difference whether you eat it on Shabbos, or you eat it in Yisachel. If you don't eat the Shiro of Kriya Sudeh, Gimel Beitzim, Dalet Beitzim, or 21 Beitzim plus, so then it's not considered the Sudas Keva, and even if you eat it in the course of the Sudas Shlishis that you are regularly accustomed to eat, so it still does not have the Sudas Keva. And then we have the Shita of the Radvaz, the Birkei Yisef explains it, that if you eat it not in the course of Isude that you are regularly accustomed to be Kibbeh Asude and to eat, so then it does not have a Chalishem Keva. But if you eat it in the course of Isude that every Shabbos you are accustomed to eat it, so then it is the Chalishem Sefes Keva. So in other words, the second approach, so will be all right according to Rav Nechaim Azorah, it's certainly all right. And even according to Radvaz, it's all right. But it will not be all right according to the Guinness one. All right, we don't have to be machmir. Now there is a third alternative. The third alternative is not such a popular alternative, but it's a good alternative anyway. Now the third alternative is that to be mikayim the Sude Shabbos Friday night in Shabbos morning by eating the matzah mibu Shabbos. Now what's the aloche of ilechem that was first baked as far as ameitz lechem in Oretz is concerned, and as Birkas Hamozin is concerned? What's the aloche of a pas? Pas is baked, and then it is boiled. So the Mechaber in Simen Kuf Samaches, Sif Yud says, Chvitze the Haine, Piru Elechem Shenidbokim Yachat Al Dimok, Im Nizbashel, Im Yesh Bem Kazayis, Afal Pishim Beitei Alechem, Mivore Chameitzi Ubirkas Amozim. Vimein Bem Kazayis, Afal Pishim Nire Sheyesh Beitei Alechem, Ein Mivore Chlebir Muzinis. So the aloche is that the lechem that was baked and then it was nisbashel, so then it depends. If there is a kazayis left, so then it has a din of pas and it requires because I'm not in a mitzlechem nor as until Sidai. If less than a kazayis is left, so then it does not have a din of pas. So in other words, so that means that we can be mikayim Sude Shabbos if the matzah mishalis will have a kazayis, and it can be a whole matzah, it doesn't have to break, you just take a matzah on Friday and you put it in a frying pan and you fill it up with water in the frying pan and then you let it boil and then you take it out and you put it on a tray, on a plate, and until it dries up, and then you can wash and make a meitzi and do mivor and birkas hamozin. Now, how about the iser about this reading matzah erev Pesach? So this kind of matzah, now in order to be osir, in order to become included, in order to be included in the Yisr of eating matzah of Pesach, so it must be that kind of a matzah that you could be mekayim the mitzvah of achilas matzah. But matzah shiro, so Rabbi Tam himself ate matzah shiro. Why? Because the Gemara says you cannot be mekayim. The Gemara says in Psochim that the matzah mevushelis, you cannot be mekayim the mitzvah of achilas matzah, because it does not have the real tam matzah. But even though it does not have the real tam matzah, but it's not a afkoye of lechem, as far as Birch Samozim and the mitzvah of Norez and the Zedayim is concerned. So it's only Ligabi the mitzvah of Matzah. So since it's Mevusheles does not have the real Tamatzah, there is a certain diminution in the real Tamatzah as a result of the Bishul. So Memele, he couldn't be Mikayim the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. So since he couldn't be Mikayim the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, so Memele, it's not Oseh, Aram Shabbos, Erev Pesach, and Rablet. So Memele, all those Rishenim who say that there is no Iser in eating matzah shiro, so certainly there is no Iser in eating matzah mevusheles, because for the same reason that there is no Iser of eating matzah shiro erev Pesach. Why? Because it couldn't be mikayim the mitzvah of achilas matzah. So that is true also of matzah mevusheles, since you couldn't be mikayim the mitzvah achilas matzah mevusheles, so mele there is no Iser of eating erev Pesach. Now, and the Magen Avraham is in Kufayin Aleph, so he mentions in the name of the Maril that you could be Mikayim, that the Maril said that you could be Mikayim. They all discuss Sudesh Lishis. They don't discuss the first two Sudesh, because they had no problem with the first two Sudesh. But with the Sudesh Lishis, so we wanted to know, because there is a Shibis of Hashemim, that Sudesh Lishis can be fulfilled only if you eat Pas Mamish, not with Peres, not with Boso, not even with Pas Abobi Kitzni, unless the Pas Abobi Kitzni has it enough Pas. So the Magen Avraham mentions in the name of the Maril, he says, the Musude Shlishis, Yochel Mikayim, Al Yidei Matzah Mevusheles. But the Maril says, he doesn't understand as to why people don't do it. So the Maril really mentions that. So that's Matzah Mevusheles. And Rabbi Dreger, in Simen Kufayin Aleph, so he also says that you are allowed to eat an Erev Pesach Matzah Mevusheles. The Chayodom says, in so many words, that you are allowed to eat an Erev Pesach Matzah Mevusheles, because you couldn't be Mekayim the Mitzvah. And all the Poskim say that you are allowed to eat Matzah Mevusheles Erev Pesach until 3 o'clock. Mishvah Asir, you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat Matzah Mevusheles, not allowed to eat Matzah Asir. There is one shita that you are not allowed to eat Matzah Mevusheles Erev Pesach. That's the shita Zakor. But all the other poskim saying so many words, the Maril, the Magen Avraham, the Chok Yaakov, the Chayodom, the Rav Shulchan Aruch, they all say that until Shua Asiris, until 3 o'clock, you're allowed to eat Matzah Mevusheles. So Mimele, you could be Eitzeh to the Shabbos, Friday night, Shabbos morning, and to the Shlishis, if you eat it immediately after 12 o'clock. So you could be Eitzeh, all the Gimel Sudeis, who eat Matzah Mevusheles. The only one who says that it's Oser is the Gros. But the Gros says it only in connection with Shiz Rambam. The Gros couldn't say it in connection with the Shita of the other Rishenim, the Rambam Tam, the Rosh. After all, the Rambam Tam himself ate Matzah Ashiro Erev Pesach. And the Gros says that according to the Rambam, so it's not only Oser to eat an Erev Pesach in Matzah with which you can be Mekayim the Mitzvah Achilas Matzah. Any Matzah, whether you could be Mekayim the Mitzvah Achilas Matzah or not, so you're not allowed to eat Erev Pesach. You're not allowed to eat Erev Pesach. So even in Matzah Shiro, you're not allowed to eat Erev Pesach, according to the Rambam. But the Gro is made that according to all the other Rishonim, who say in so many words that Matzah Shiro you're allowed to eat Erev Pesach. Why? Because you couldn't be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Achilas Matzah Pesach Lai. So certainly Matzah Mevusheles, so you could eat. But according to the Rambam, that you're not allowed to eat even Matzah Shiro, so the Issa of eating Erev Pesach applies to all matzahs, even matzah like matzah shiro, that you couldn't be mekayim the mitzvah achilas matzah, so maybe even matzah mevusheles is not allowed it. But we certainly can be maker, because first of all, the Gros matzah shiro you can eat Erev Pesach. So the Gros says it only alibi the Rambam. And then there is another machlekes. First of all, the shita of the Balamoyer. Balamoyer and the Rosh and the Rani, not like the Rambam, that the Yisr of eating irregular matzah only applies after the Issa Chometz begins. But until the Holy Shoah is Be'ayim, that it's Mutar to eat Chometz, it's Mutar to eat Matzah. It's Mutar to eat Matzah. So in Meile, first of all, it cannot be considered the fact that the Gro says that according to the Rambam, when the Gro is made, that according to all the other Mishayim, Matzah, and Shalas is Mutar, so it cannot be considered as a Sofik. And even if it were considered as a Sofik, so we certainly have a Svek Svek in the Rabbonon, and it's more than that in the Chom Posim, so there is no doubt that one is allowed, one can be maker in eating a matzah mevishales Shabbos Erev Pesach. All right, these are the three alternatives. Now that completes the halacha. Now the Shabbos before Pesach is called Shabbos Agodah. Why is it called Shabbos Agodah? So the Rishonim say, because of the nes that occurred on the Shabbos before the first Pesach, the Pesach of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So all the Israelites in Mitzrayim were told that on the 10th of Nisan they were to take a seh, and that seh, and in that year, the 10th of Nisan occurred on Shabbos. Because in the year of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the 15th of Nisan, the Gemara in Shabbos says, was on Thursday. Now, if the 15th is on Thursday, so the 10th, so Shabbos is the 10th. And on the 10th of Nisan, they are all required to take a seh for a Korban Pesach. And on that Shabbos, before the Pesach of Yetzias Mitzrayim, so they bound, every Jew bound the seh to the leg of his bed. And the seh was the idol of the Mitzrim. So b'derech hateva, the Mitzrim should have attacked all the Jews, and not a single Egyptian dared even say a word of protest to the Jews. So that was the Ness. And because that Ness occurred on the Shabbos before Pesach, so because of that, every Shabbos before Pesach, Atzeif Kol Adereis, is called Shabbos. Because of the Ness that occurred on the Shabbos before Pesach of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, I would like to understand the meaning of Shabbos Agodah and the significance of Shabbos Agodah. What is the message of Shabbos Agodah? Now, what's the meaning of Shabbos Agodah? A great Shabbos. I can understand the meaning of an Odom Goy, a great person. A great person. What does it mean, Shabbos, a great Shabbos? Is there any difference between the Shabbos before Pesach or Shabbos? Is the same Kedushas HaShabbos. Vayvorech Elokim es Himashvi Vaykadosh Yoseh. So every Shabbos is the same. There couldn't be any special significance in one Shabbos as against any other Shabbos. And then there is another question, and that other question is raised by everybody. Taz, the Magen Avraham, the Chok Yaakov, all the Poskim, all the Nesikim discussed that. So why do we call every Shabbos Shabbos Agodah, let's say, this year? So the Shabbos Agodah, the so-called Shabbos Agodah, will not be the 10th of Nisan. It will be the 14th of Nisan. Now, the whole reason as to why it's called Shabbos Agodah is because of the Nes Agodah that occurred. So, and at that time, Shabbos was the 10th. So let the 10th of Nisan be called Yom Agodah. Why Shabbos Agodah? Because that year, the 10th of Nisan was Shabbos. We have to understand the meaning of Godel in respect to Shabbos. Shabbos is an intangible entity. Of course, Shabbos is an entity, Shabbos, but it's an intangible entity. How is it shayach to say Shabbos HaKod? In order to say Shabbos HaKod, it means that the other Shabbos is Shabbos HaKod. Can one say that the other Shabbos is Shabbos HaKod? So what's the meaning of Shabbos HaKod? Now, it is obvious that Godel, whenever the term Godel appears, it has the same meaning as Godel has in any other context. Now, where in which halachic context does Godel have a definite meaning? In which halachic context? In the halachic context of Godless, of Ibn and Ibas. So there is a halach of Godless. So in other words, when a boy becomes 13 years old, he's a Godel. When a girl becomes 12 years old, she is a gdela. Why? Because godless represents a stage in the development of a youngster when the youngster attains a modicum of maturity. Godless means maturity. That does not mean that every boy who became bar mitzvah, every girl who became bas mitzvah, that she has reached maturity in an absolute sense. No. A boy at 13 is considered a godless being because at 13 he is considered to have attained a certain modicum of maturity. A girl at the age of 12 is considered to have attained a certain modicum of maturity. But there are all kinds of degrees of maturity. So godel really means mature. And when we say Shabbos HaGodel, so obviously it means the same thing. The mature Shabbos. Now that does not solve the problem and does not answer the question. What does it mean, a mature Shabbos? Any other Shabbos is not mature. The answer is, it's called Shabbos HaGodel, not in the sense that the Shabbos, this Shabbos is more mature than any other Shabbos. All Shabbos are the same, all Shabbos are the same. But it's called Shabbos HaGodel because on the Shabbos before Pesach, a Jew is to dedicate himself to the task and to the goal of attaining maturity, of progressing in maturity. At Bar Mitzvah, a boy, or at Bar Mitzvah, Bas Mitzvah, a boy and a girl does not attain maturity in an absolute sense. At 13 and 12, a youngster attains the age at which he or she has to dedicate himself or herself to the concept of maturity. But maturity is a process in which one can wax and progress, or one can retrogress. So Shabbos HaGodel, the Shabbos before Pesach, is the Shabbos on which every person, every Jew, is expected to dedicate himself to the goal of maturity. Now, so it's called Shabbos HaGodel not that the Shabbos is mature, but it's the Shabbos on which every Jew is to search his soul and to dedicate himself to the task of maturity. Now, what is maturity? This maturity is the essential ingredient of Chayos. Now, the Rambam says, in Hilchos Chometz HaMatzot, פרק ז' מלכות חומש ומעצו, הלוכה בייס. הלוכה א' הלוכה בייס. So he says, נלוכה א' מי שזה ששאל תהיו לסף ומניסים ופוי שנס להמסים במצרים ואולך חמישה עושה מניסים, שנה מה זוכר סים השבוס ושאל, זוכר סעים הזה אשר יצוס במצרים, כמו שנה מה זוכר סים השבוס. And then he says, מצווה לידי הלבונים, ואפילו לא ישועה לי, שנה מה ויגר איתו לבינכו, לפידייתי של בן לא מתמלמדי, כיצד, אם הויוקותו לא טיפש, אין מלא בני, כולנו היינו עבודים כמו שפחו זו או כמו עבד זה במצרים ובלילה הזה פודו יסונו הקדוש ברוך הוא ויצאנו לחיוס ואם הוא היה בן גודל וחכם מודיע מה שאיר לנו במצרים וניסים שנעשו לנו על דמי שרבינו חכי לפידי תשובה. In other words, in order to explain the significance of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the meaning of freedom of Chayos, so it varies. The explanation has to vary according to the capacity of the child. If the child is a cotton, in other words, before Bar Mitzvah, or a very young child, immature, or even if he's a godel but he's not very intelligent, he's already mature, and he's intelligent too. Because if he's not intelligent, so in spite of the fact that Al-Pedin is a godel, because he has attained the modicum of maturity, but he has a very small measure of maturity. He's not a chochem, so it means he possesses a very small measure of maturity. So then he's to be considered to be on the same level as a cotton, as one who is completely immature. So then, but if his godly the chacham is mature, then he has to give a different explanation of the significance of tzitzis mitzrayim. So it is interesting. If the child is a cotton, completely immature, so then he has to emphasize the significance of tzitzis mitzrayim of freedom in terms of physical freedom, material freedom. He has to say, if the child is immature, or if the child is a tipish, unintelligent, so then he should point out to the Shifra or to the Eved. Now, in other words, he should give the same explanation that rabbis and radio programs give before Pesach. In other words, they equate. I mean, even that shouldn't be done, even in respect to a child who is completely immature. But it should be based upon that approach. In other words, they should mention, you remember, the servitude of the Negroes and the blacks before the Civil War? How terrible it was when human beings were treated as chattels? Well, that's the way Yetzias Mitzrayim is described by great Jews, by spiritual leaders on television and on radio and various programs and from the pulpit. So that's the way it should be explained to a child who is completely immature, or to a child who is already a godly but who is unintelligent. But if he is already mature, then he has to say other things. Shouldn't mention the similarity between the servitude of the blacks before the Civil War and the servitude, the enslavement of the Israelites in Egypt. There is no analogy. There can be an analogy in the mind of an immature child, but not from the point of view of a mature person. There couldn't be any analogy. But then he has to describe the significance of chayrus in other terms, in terms of spiritual chayrus. So v'moyo aben godel v'chochom moidia mashironu b'mitzrayim v'nisim shenasronu al v'nei sherabenu hakel v'daiti shoben. In other words, a mature person conceives of freedom in terms of spiritual freedom, chayrus hanefesh. A mature person does not consider physical freedom as being of great significance if it is detached and devoid of the aspect of spiritual freedom. But an immature person, he can conceive of the significance of physical freedom uncoupled with spiritual freedom. So we cannot be mocked here. The unintelligent children, we cannot neglect the little children who are naturally immature. We have to emphasize the importance of freedom to their immature minds too. But a mature person cannot conceive of freedom in terms of material bounties. A mature person can only conceive of significance of freedom in terms of spiritual bounties. Eu malchus shamayim mitzves nisim nashe rabbeinu tor bavuzeh osu adishem li. So how does Rashi explain bavuzeh osu adishem li? That is the reason as to why the Israelites were delivered out of Egyptian bondage, in order that we should be able to eat matzah and morer and Pesach and Pesach night. It doesn't mean dafke matzah and morer. It means matzah and morer and Pesach are mentioned as examples of mitzvahs. That's the whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why should the Ribbono Shel Olam infringe upon the laws of nature and to take out goy mitzvah goy? Why didn't he do it to the Ethiopians? The Ethiopians were mishumet in those days too. The reason is why the Ribbono Shel Olam did it to the Jewish people, because bavozeh osu adishem li, in order that there should be, as a result of Yetzias Mitzrayim, a mamlechas ke'anim v'kekodesh. And this is the way Yetzias Mitzrayim has to be explained to a mature person. So in other words, maturity is a very important element in freedom. Because without maturity, a Jew, a human being, couldn't even understand the meaning of freedom. If a person is not mature, then he'll conceive of freedom exclusively in terms of material and physical bounties. That's not freedom from the point of view of the Torah. So maturity, we see from this Rambam, that maturity is not only an essential element in freedom, but maturity is indispensable towards the understanding of freedom. If someone is not mature, we cannot even explain the real meaning of freedom to him. We have to emphasize minor aspect of freedom. We have to point out to a child who is completely immature that there is an analogy between the servitude of the Israelites in Egypt prior to Yetzias Mitzrayim and the servitude of the blacks prior to the Civil War. So, maturity is an essential element in freedom. Now, what are the components of maturity itself? Maturity is an essential element in freedom, but maturity itself is a compound substance. It's not an element. And that too consists, maturity consists of certain components, of certain elements. What are the ingredients? What are the ingredients of maturity? Now, so one ingredient of maturity we see from the Torah consists in an individual image that a human being has. Now we find that in the Torah, at the end of Bereishis, that the Rebbeinu Shalom, in his infinite wisdom, took notice of the fact that the inclination of man was evil all day, as it is mentioned at the end of Bereishis. Vayara v'shem ki rabo ro asa odom boret v'chol ya'itza machshves libei rak vayim v'yinochel ha'vishem ki osa esa odom boret v'yisatzi v'libei v'yimer ha'vishem emche esa odom asha borosim al pri adomo mi'odom ad behemo ad remes v'adei ha'shomoyim ki nechamti ki asis. So in other words, what was the reason for the marvel, for the Rebbeinu Shalom's decision to destroy mankind and leave just a seed, a remnant, Neach Ubanov? The fact that Yitzah Machshavos Libei Rak Rak Olayim. Because the inclination in man is evil. So that was the reason as to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to destroy mankind through the flood. Then, after the flood, so it is mentioned that Vayorach Hashem Esreach HaNecheach Vayimer Hashem Alibay Lo Yisif Likal Leides HaAdomo Ba'avur Odom Ki Yitzal Leiv Odom Ra Minuro Vilo Yisif Leid Lachakis Es Kol Chai Kasher Osis. So here, the Rebbeinu Shalom took a shvuah not to bring a marble anymore. And why did the Rebbeinu Shalom take an oath not to destroy mankind, not to bring the devil anymore? Because Yitzhak Odom Ramino. Now the question arises, at the end of Bereishis, so the fact that inclination in man is evil all the time, is mentioned as the reason for bringing it forth. After the marble, so the same fact of Yitzhak Odom Ra, that the inclination in man is evil all the time, is mentioned as a reason for not bringing a marble. So the question is the evil inclination in man a factor in the destruction of mankind, or is it a factor in sparing mankind? From the pasuk at the end of the Seder of Bereishis, it appears that the evil inclination in man is a factor in the destruction of mankind. And from the pasuk in Neah, it appears that the evil inclination in man is a factor in the sparing of mankind. Doesn't that present a stira m'neir bay? It appears that the Ramban was very much baffled by this apparent stira. But the Rishonim usually, especially in the explanation of the psukim in the Torah, they didn't follow up the approach of Yesh l'hakshis v'yesh l'taritz. So he discusses that in other terms. But in final analysis, the Ramban raises that question. And the Ramban says that the pshat in the Pasuk in Neach, ki yeitze lo yeisif likale leides ha'adomo, ba'avur odom, ki yeitze leiv odom ra minuro, is not that man is innately evil. Chas v'sholom. Man is not evil. If man had been innately evil, bad, so then the Rebbeinu Shalom wouldn't say Moyoisif Kaleo. No, no more will I curse the earth on account of man, for the inclination is evil. If, on the contrary, if man basically is evil, so then he should be destroyed. Why is Pharaoh? But Kietzaliv Odom Raminurov means not that the inclination in the heart of man is evil from the first day of his birth, but the inclination of the heart of man is evil because he's immature. And even though he appears to be, it won't happen at all. He's 20 years old, he's 30 years old, he's 40 years old, he's 50 years old, but he's still immature. So there is a solution to that problem. The more mature he becomes, the less evil inclinations his heart will possess. So that's the reason as to why the Kaveh Yochel took an oath not to destroy mankind. Because slowly but surely, man, while he'll be groping through darkness, he'll find his way. And ultimately, mankind will attain the goal that was reserved for man by the Creator in creating the world and mankind. That's the reason as to why the Kaveh Yochel took an oath not to destroy mankind anymore. So, with this, the Ramban is disposing of the apparent conflict between the Pasuk at the end of Bereishis, which appears to indicate that the evil inclination in man is the factor in the destruction of mankind, and the Pasuk in Neach, which tends to indicate that the evil inclination in man is a factor in sparing mankind. So, according to the Ramban, it was necessary to bring the marble upon the world, because without the marble, mankind would never have attained its goal. But as a result of the marble, a fundamental change was wrought in the nature of man. And because of that fundamental change that was wrought in the nature of man through the marble, so man is bound to attain this goal. He'll falter many times, he'll fail, he'll commit many blunders, he'll commit many sins and crimes, but ultimately he'll see the light and he'll grope his way slowly but surely through the spiritual darkness in which man has found himself in the course of many generations. So what was the change that was wrought by the marble in the nature of man? Now the Medrash, now the Ramban doesn't discuss it in detail, but I'm sure that the Ramban had in mind when he mentioned this pshat in the Pasuk, Yetzaliv Odom Raminurov, he had in mind the Medrash Rabbi. The Medrash Rabbi says, on the Pasuk, Vayorach Hashem Esreach Echayach, and Almighty God figuratively smelled the savory odor of the Korbanos of Neach, Esreach Echayach, Zeo HaReach HaYetze Miteich Kivshan Reish Shel Avrom. Nimrit cast Avrom Avinu into the Kivshan Reish, into a fiery furnace, because Avrom Avinu challenged and he defied the authenticity of the idolatry of Nimrod. Because of that, Nimrod cast Avraham Avinu into a fiery furnace, and he was nitzel b'darachnes. So Vayorach Hashem Esreach Nechayach means that the Kaveh Yochel, figuratively, in the savory smell of the Korbanos of Neach, he also detected, the Kaveh Yochel detected, the reach, the savory odor of the Kivshan Ha'ish of Avraham Avinu. Vayorach Hashem Esreach Nechayach, Zehu Reach Nechayach Sheyitzei Mi Hananya Mishol Vazaraye, who are also thrown into a fiery furnace. Vayorach Hashem Esreach Nechayach, the Medrash Rabbi proceeds, the Deir Shel Shmat. What is the Reach Nechayach, on account of which the Kaveh Yochel made an oath that never again will he destroy mankind? What did this Reach Nechayach consist of? It consisted in the spirit of rebellion that Neach showed. and Linneach's, in the spirit of rebellion of Neach, the Kaviyochel detected the spirit of rebellion of Avraham Avinu, of saintly and righteous rebellion, not treacherous rebellion, the rebellion of an Avraham Avinu who rebels against the Weltanschauung of a pagan world, and who can say that even though Kol Olam Yivarechad, Ani Meivasheni, I'm not going to succumb to the pressures, to the cultural pressures of a pagan environment. I'm going to be an Eved Hashem in face of all the pressure that is being exerted upon me, Avraham Avinu said. And that was the change that was wrought in the nature of man by the Mabul. Prior to the Mabul, so men had no seeds of rebellion. So after the Mabul, the Torah also says, "Ki yitzal yivodam ra minuro." There is an evil inclination in the heart of man. Why? Because every man is, to a certain extent, immature. And even though he's a very important man, he's a big industrialist, he's a diplomat, he's a professor in a university, but he's still immature. It doesn't mean just because he enjoys a high position in society that he's mature. One can be president of the United States and be very immature. So the reason as to why there is an evil inclination in the heart of man is because Minura, he is still immature, but gradually he will become more and more mature. And the moment he becomes mature, he will acquire his own image, his own individual image. And then he will not try to emulate the example of others. Prior to the Mabul, a human being did not have any individual image. He did not even have a spirit of rebellion. And if one person showed an example of wickedness, of tyranny, of violence, of sin, of lust, then this was emulated by many others. Now, we Jews say, on Yom Kippurim, the holiest day in the year, Asei limantineki shel bisrabo, shaloi chot. Asei liman yenki shedai shaloi posh. That means that we Jews consider childhood, infancy, as the symbol of innocence, of righteousness, of purity, of decency. But at the same time, the Torah here says, and the Ramban explains it, there is an evil inclination in the heart of man because he's still young, he's still childish. So that appears to imply that the youth and childhood is synonymous with evil. How do we reconcile this apparent contradiction? The answer is, true indeed, from the point of view of the Torah, so childhood is synonymous with innocence, with purity. We reject this doctrine of original sin. We Jews say every day, Elokai nishomer shenesata b'teilei. And if there is sin, and there is a lot of sin and lust in the world, so it all emanates because of the bad example that is shown by one person. So a child, then you have a group of 100 nice children. If they will be allowed to play with one child who already adopted evil habits, so you'll see in a short time all the heretofore 100 wonderful children will change. Why? Because while a child is basically good and pure and innocent, he has a tendency to emulate. And if one child who was not born evil, was not born wicked, was somehow, he adopted evil practices, evil habits. So if good children are allowed to play with a child who adopted evil practices, then the good children, the heretofore good children, in a very short time will acquire the same habits, because a child does not have his own image. He likes to emulate the example shown by others. And prior to the marble, every man was like a child, and he did not have the seeds of rebellion in him. But then a change was wrought by the marble. And then when Almighty God figuratively smelled the savory odor of the korban of Leah, so Almighty God detected in that odor the spirit of rebellion, of good rebellion, of noble rebellion, of saintly, righteous, holy rebellion, the spirit of rebellion shown by Avraham Avinu, who was able to defy a whole pagan world. The rebellion shown by Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who are able to defy the decree of Nebuchadnezzar. The rebellion, the spirit of rebellion shown by Yedei Rishon Shmart. So that meant that in spite of all the falterings and all the blunders of man, man is destined to attain his goal. So that is the reason as to why the Torah says, Ki yetze yalevo odom rav nuro, lo yoisif mikal leides adom rav odom. Why? Because man is not evil, he's good, he's born pure. But we find an evil inclination in man. Yetze yalevo odom, do you know why? Because minuro, because every person who is seemingly an adult and a big man, a cultured person, occupying a very high position in society, he's immature. He still retains a great degree of immaturity in his psyche. That's why man sins. He likes to emulate the example of others. How is it that millions of Germans became Nazis in a few years? Why? Because they were all immature. And if certain demagogue said Hail Hitler, so thousands of other Germans also proclaimed Hail Hitler, because they didn't have any spirit of rebellion. They did not have any individual image. I mentioned several times the posik of Ayivro Elikim Esodom In all the English translations, it is translated, and God created man in his image. His spelled with the capital H, that means in God's image. In the image of God, he created him. I said that this is an erroneous translation, because if that had been true, that in Vayivro Elikim Esodom Bitzalmi means in his with the capital H, so then there is a redundancy, there is a repetition in the pasuk. In his, in God's image he created, in the image of God he created it. So there is a redundancy, repetition. Why repeat? There is no superfluity in the Torah, but it should be translated. Vayivro Elikim Esodom Bitzalmi, and God created man in his image. He's with his small age, in man's own image, God created man. A person dare not mold his own individual image in ways that are contrary to the image of God that every man possesses. True, every person is to adopt his own individual image, but the individuality of an image of a person is to be harnessed within the framework of the image of God that is inherent in the personality of every human being. But every person has to have his own individual image. And that was the change that was wrought by the marble. Prior to the marble, a person did not possess an individual image. After the marble, the Rebbeinu Shalom took an oath, Lo yisif l'kal leides adam, because in spite of all the falterings and all the blunders and all the loss and all the inclinations, so it will pass till time when man will eradicate the immaturity in him. And then he'll be able to fulfill the goal that was reserved for man by the Creator in creating the world. So in other words, the first component of maturity is that a person should strive to acquire his own individual image, but that individual image has to be harnessed within the framework of the Tzelem Elokim that is inherent in the personality of every human being. That's one component of Nichiruka. Then there is another component of maturity. The other component of maturity is discussed in great detail in a certain parasha in Teilos. Now, in Teilos Shlishi, the Torah tells us, Vayigdal in respect to Yitzchok. So first it's mentioned, Vayeshev Yitzchok Bikro, Vayizra Yitzchok Boratzai, Vayimtza Bashonai, Meyoshorim, Ki Vayochim Abishem. Then the Torah proceeds, Vayigdal Ish, and the man, Yitzchok, waxed in greatness, Vayelech, and the promise kept on waxing and becoming greater and greater. Atikotomi, it became very good. Now it's, what does the Pasuk tell us? Now the Yitzchok made so much progress. He kept on waxing in greatness. And he became greater and greater until he became very great. One would expect, how did this progress in greatness, in godliness, manifest itself? He learned Shas Bavli, he learned Shas Yerushalmi, he learned Kotei Kule, he acquired all the Chochmas Eilo. But the Torah doesn't say that the godliness of Yitzchok manifested itself in acquiring great wisdom. Chochmas Atiro, Chochmas Eilo. No. Vayilu Miknetze Uvikne Mokko. He had possessions of flax, Umikne Mokko, possessions of herd, Vavudo Rabo, and the great household. Vaykano is a Brishti. Does that manifest greatness? Just because one possesses millions, he's great? And how does the fact that the Brishti remember him show greatness in Yitzchak? What kind of greatness is there? There are many individuals, Jews and non-Jews today in America, all over the world, who possess a lot of wealth, and they are k'tanim shebik'tanim. Everybody knows that. There is one millionaire who had no children and he was not married and he left a will and he bequeathed millions of dollars to his dog. Well, he's a great man. Just because he possessed millions of dollars. So why does the Pasuk say, Vayigdal Oish, Vayelech, Holich, Vigodel, Ad, Vodomei, Vayelech, Mikdetzeinu, Mikdevokal, Avudarabu, Vaykanu, Zipish. How is that to be explained? And then, V'chol ha'beir is asher chofu, av the Yoviv, V'lei Avraham Oviv, Sitten Plishtim, V'aymol Mofa. All the wells that the servants of his father Avraham dug in the days of Avraham, the Plishtim stopped, and they filled it up with earth. V'ayim Rav Melachal Yitzchok, Leich Mimonu, Kiyotzam Tum Menuei, V'ayim Rav Shom Yitzchok, V'ayicham Benachal Gro, V'ayishev Shom. Does that show greatness? He became a refugee. He possessed millions, possessions of flax, possessions of herds, a big household. He was very wealthy, and then he was deprived of everything and became a refugee. Does that show greatness? So what is the greatness? So what shows his greatness? The possession, the original possession of flax and herds and household, or the deprivation of the possession of flax and herds. It seems to me that as a matter of common sense, neither the possession of flax and herds shows greatness, nor the deprivation. Does that mean that when a person is deprived of his property, that he's not immoral? And if, let's say, and if certain hooligans, about 7 years ago, let's say, attacked certain Jews on the south side here in Chicago, and they destroyed the store of the Jew, and they became penniless in one day, does that mean that that man became an Adam Godel just because he was deprived of his possessions, of his wealth? How does the fact that one is possessed of flax and herds and wealth make one Adam Godel? And how does the fact that one becomes deprived of flax and herds and household make one Adam Godel? But the answer is, neither the possession of flax and herds makes a person to an Adam Godel, nor the deprivation. But what makes a person an Adam Godel is the way he faces his problems. Now, the ordinary person, if, let's say, he had been possessed of flax and herds and household, so much wealth, and then And then the police team, out of jealousy, take away everything from him. What would he do? How would he respond? He would become completely frustrated. He would break down. And the ordinary person, even the ordinary nice person, would become demoralized. He would become corrupt as a result of a deprivation of so much wealth in which he put in so much work. Do you think that Yitzchok just pulled out of his sleeve all these possessions of flocks and herd and household? He worked days and nights. Even as his son Yaakov worked days and nights in order to accumulate a possession of flocks and herds. It didn't come the easy way. It came the hard way. And then, out of the blue sky, in one day, the wicked Philistines, the envious, jealous, wicked Philistines, take away everything from him. And they even stop the wells that were used as a source of sustenance for the whole community. How would the person react to such a frustrating experience? It would be natural for a person to become completely demoralized, to become completely frustrated, discouraged, demoralized, and corrupted. And you couldn't even condemn him. But what did Yitzchok do? He faced the problems. He didn't break down under pressure. He faced the problems. He possessed so much, and he worked so hard in order to attain all this wealth. And then it was taken away from him. He didn't become frustrated. He didn't break down under pressure. When Avimelech made him into a refugee, when Avimelech said to Yitzchok, Leich mi imanu kotzam tov menu meid, vayelech mishom Yitzchok, vayichan binachal gro, vayeshev shom. So Yitzchok did not break down under pressure. He persevered in his endeavors to build a law. They took away everything. Yitzchok worked for years in order to build up such a household, such possessions of flocks and herds, days and nights of incessant work, and then everything was taken away from him. He did not become frustrated. He did not, Chas v'Shalom, become demoralized. He persevered in his endeavors to build anew, and he succeeded. He succeeded for a time. And again, he suffered a frustrating experience. Vayelach mishom Yitzchok vayichan v'nachal gro, in the valley of Gor. Vayeshev shom, vayoshev Yitzchok vayar b'erez b'erez hamayim, asher chofru b'mei Avrom aviv. Vayisak mum plishtim ach b'meis Avrom, vayikra lem shemes, kashemes v'kol avol. He persevered in face of all hardships, and in face of all frustrating experiences, and of the wicked attempts by wicked and jealous and envious people. He persevered in his endeavor to build anew. They took away everything in one place. Yitzchok started to build in another place. But they don't leave him alone. The jealous people don't leave him alone. They kept on contending with him. Leave alone Hamoim. He kept on building anew. And the jealous people kept on frustrating him and depriving him of all his accomplishments, all his achievements. But Yitzchok doesn't break down. You wonder why Yitzchok is considered by the Kabbalists as the symbol of Gvura. Because that's real Gvura. The ability, that's maturity. That is an essential element in maturity. The ability to face problems, not to become frustrated. Envious people, jealous people are trying to hurt a person. Of course, you'll always find jealous people who will try to hurt you. But there is only one way of facing the jealousy.